Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, April 1st, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, there's a lot of things going on today. The job report came out, had a little pressure on gold, but it did climb back. We're still down 960 for gold. 960 for gold at 1223.60. Silver was down 38 though at 1517, but she touched 1472. So both gold and silver had a nice rebound today. Platinum was down 18 at 962. Palladium was up buck 568. I didn't have a chance to follow the dollar, so this will be interesting to see what it did today. Still at 94.58, down 0.06. 94.58, down 0.06. Crude oil took a beating, 1.63 to the downside at 36.71. And the paper markets today, we have gold up 100. And 7 points at 17,709. What?
What is that tapping?
I don't hear any tapping.
Well, I sure did.
No. Now you lost my 17,792 up 107. We have the NASDAQ up 44 at 49.14. The S&P up 13 at 2,072. Do you still hear it, Al?
It keeps on coming at me. It's on and off, but somebody's tapping a microphone.
Well, that's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's the boys.
You don't hear it.
No.
It's coming from you guys. Frank hears it too. Tap, tap, tap. Sounds like somebody's tapping on a microphone.
April Fools!
That's you. I knew it. You got me again on it.
And what was the first thing you said to me when I
said I'd be watching for it. I knew you were going
to
do something, and I thought, no, I'm waiting for it this time. You got me again.
Anyway, we have the 10-year yield. Boy, if you ever get me back, it's going to be bad. Gotcha. I love it when I get you. 10-year yield, 1.79%, up 0.01.
Um, Frank says it's coming from you guys.
Tom is
Frank's our producer, of course, and Frank said, don't blame me for this. I'm not doing this.
I'll have to tell the listeners.
Get blamed on this, but
I do have to tell the listeners when I connected with Al today. I mean, the first thing out of his mouth, the very first thing. I didn't even get to say, "How you doing today, Al?" The very first thing out of his mouth was, "You're not going to get me today." I kind of pleaded, acted. What do you mean? I don't understand. Today's April 1st. You're not going.
Oh no, I'm not going to do anything today. I won't do it.
We got too much stuff to talk about today. Too many things going on. But we'll talk here. The jobs report came out today. The U.S. created 215,000 new jobs in March. And, you know, everybody was expecting a little bit lower number. The unemployment rate, it rose a notch to 5% from 4.9%. And the Labor Department said that was because more Americans are joining the labor force. The size of the labor force has increased by 2 million people in the past 5 months, a clear sign that work is easier to find. Well, what I want to know is, you know, they talk about the 2 million people finding a job in the past 6 months. It also includes people that are just looking for a job, not actually employed. But when the rate was dropping, it was always because of people finding jobs, not from giving up hopelessness. They were, there was always people finding jobs. But now that number is beginning to tick up, now it's a positive sign that people are coming into the market because there's more jobs and so forth. So it's just how they spin it. But the point is, you know, the jobs that they're acquiring, whatever jobs are being created, are not good jobs. They're low-paying jobs. You had 29,000 jobs in March that were cut. That's the biggest drop in manufacturing employment since 2009. And, you know, thank you, strong dollar and trade agreements. Because of the sales environment, both at home and abroad, you have energy companies. They eliminated 12,000 more jobs, coping with this lower oil prices. For the sectors that added workers, you're looking at retailers. They took on about 48,000 more employees. But man, when you break it down, how many? That's less than 1,000, you know, jobs per state. I mean, you know, so these, you know, when you break it down and you see just how many jobs that are being created, the type of jobs that are being created, it doesn't really give you a warm and fuzzy feeling. White collar jobs increased by 33,000 in March. But the hiring for these business and professional positions, they declined sharply in the first quarter, from a year ago. So. We're seeing the employment shift to more and more part-time jobs that don't include benefits, that don't include health insurance. We have health insurance that is going higher and higher. And even if you have a $15 an hour wage with the part-time, that's not enough to pay for your health care, not with the cost of health care. So things are not as rosy as they make everything seem. Boeing now came out, and I have to bring up, was it last week or earlier this week, they came out with a bunch of layoffs coming up in March 30th. They announced 4,000 plus layoffs. You have another corporation this week that reported they were going to be laying off 7,000 jobs from now on and up to 2020, which is only a few short years away, so it's not that far away. So, and it's interesting about Boeing is because, you know, with Iran, they've just got 150, and chime in anytime, Al, they just got $150 billion that was returned to them, or $100-plus billion that was returned to Iran. They're not buying Boeing, they're buying Airbus. So a lot of those jobs are being lost to the Airbus company. But plus, Boeing has a super plant in China that's getting closer to opening. And so, you know, there's those jobs there. And I also read that MIT, there's more Chinese than Americans that are graduating from colleges like MIT. And, you know, of course, then they go back home and work in those jobs.
You know, again, we talked about it on this program a number of times, but the Chinese culture, woman I knew years ago, she went over there and lived in China for a year. And while she was there, she began to appreciate the fact that the Chinese value harmony as part of their culture. And because they don't want to create problems and arguments and whatever, they routinely lie to tell people what they think they want to hear. Right? It's part of their culture. They're expected to do it. And I've even seen a report, another report another time, where the premier of China, he was complaining that he had no idea how big the economy was. He gets reports from the head of each of the provinces in China about how much they're producing, whatever they're doing, but he knows they're lying to him. Even he doesn't really know how big the economy in China is. And the reason I bring that up every time, we have Boeing now that they're going to build airplanes in China. All right, that's interesting. But
I don't want to ride
in an airplane where the wings have been fastened by somebody who's been trained, whose culture teaches him to lie. And somebody says, did you torque those bolts? And he says, oh, yeah, I torqued them exactly the specifications.
No, it's not even.
Knowing that that's what they want to hear. Point is, I'm not sure that China has to change its system of values before it can make what I think of as reliable equipment you can really rely on. Now, I know they make computers and the rest of that sort of thing, but still, there's a point. A society that habitually lies is not likely to make a reliable airplane, in my opinion. It does not inspire my confidence in
There's no quality control at all. You know, it's all the almighty dollar. You had all these manufacturing companies move over to China, you know, for, you know, so the heads and their staff, the board can make bigger and bigger money. And that's what it's all about. They don't care what comes out. I mean, we had drywall with mold that was brought into this country and homes were built and people got sick. We have dogs that die, you know, from the food that was manufactured in China. You know, it's, you know, the quality coming out of China is just...
It's suspicious at times.
They have a record. They have a record.
Buys that you can get from hand tools, for example. Sawzalls, things like that. There was a time when those things cost $150, $200 to get a good sawzall. You can get one, and that was back in the 80s. And now you can get yourself a good sawzall made in China for, I don't know, change practically, $25, $30.
Yeah.
And that's after inflation. They're a fraction. It would be like buying them for $5 a piece back in the 1980s.
Yeah, but Al.
This is great stuff, but I'm still suspicious.
Yeah, but Al. When you bought that saw for $100, guess what? It probably lasted for 30 years.
Well, I know.
Now you buy this stuff and you pay, you know, $20 for it, and it lasts hopefully a year. They sell you so many warranty.
The Chinese make decent tools.
Well, they sell you so many. Well, you know, then why do they sell so many warranties, extended warranties on everything, you know? But anyway, but they do have to improve their quality control. Something else in the news today, there was the Obama held his nuclear summit in Washington. And anybody can go online and look at this picture. It's 50-plus leaders all standing around Barack Obama, and he's in the front of everyone, and he's flashing the peace sign. And it just, it's, you know, shortly after his baseball after his baseball situation and his tango situation, now he's flashing the peace sign. And I just thought, well, next year we'll have Donald Trump with both thumbs pointing up. Instead of the peace sign, we'll have both thumbs pointing up. And it's like,
well, Obama's
good Lord.
Kind of like Fast Times at Washington, D.C. High. He's emulating that role. What, Sean Penn played Fast Times and Ridgemont High? Did you get that melody?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You didn't laugh about it, though. See, my main question to you, Melody, is how long did you spend, did you just lay awake last night thinking about how you were going to do that April Fool's trick?
No, Al, it just was the spur of the moment.
I don't believe that.
Well, it was.
Preparing those April Fool tricks, I think you work on them for months before.
I don't think so.
You don't think so. You know I'm close to right. Weeks for sure and maybe months.
But here was another interest, and this really doesn't have anything to do with finances. It doesn't have anything to do with gold and silver. And we're going to talk about the Saudis' $2 trillion investment fund. That does have something to do with gold and our economy. But there was a computer out of UK researchers. They're doing embarking on a huge project, and they're going to, you know, all the health data that they mine on you and me, the goal is to predict a person's longevity based on all the risk factors, and they think that they can pretty much pinpoint the day that you're going to die. And I'm thinking,
well, that'll be bad for the insurance company, because if I've got a report that's just, for another 12 years, I'm not going to take out life insurance until the day before.
Well, no, they just won't. You know, life insurance just might be part of the past, but they hope that the information could empower people to spend their time and money more wisely. And I'm saying maybe that's perhaps not the case. You know, we've talked about Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, about how it was interpreted to have death panels. So maybe this is a way where the government doesn't have to use their death panels, or maybe they will.
I think it's a way of stimulating the economy, Melody. If the government can tell a couple hundred million people, you should be dead by the end of next month.
You're going to go out and spend any penny?
I'm not leaving anything to the bank when I go. It's all going to be spent. This may be a way of stimulating the economy.
Maybe. But talk about spending, helping the economy. The Saudi Arabia's prince has outlined a plan to build a mega $2 trillion investment fund to help wean his country off its heavy reliance. Prince bin Salman, who is second in line to the throne, he had a 5-hour interview with Bloomberg. And, you know, since the older kings are dying off and these young rulers are coming in, you are seeing these. And I think this is what's going on. All the changes in Saudi Arabia is because you have these new these younger prince people, whatever you want to call them, are coming in and changing the way they've done business before. And he's hoping within 20 years that they will be in an economy or a state that doesn't depend mainly on oil. And about 75% of their revenues comes from oil. So, you know, that's a big deal. They're looking to do an IPO on their state-owned oil company. And something else I read about this article was they're looking for ways to tax, perhaps a new sales tax that would help raise revenues. He already has something called the National Transformation Plan. Now, there's people that, there are doubts that he can pull all this off. So what's important about that story? To me, the importance of that story is there's no more petrodollar. This is just another, or maybe the final nail in the coffin for the petrodollar, meaning no more dollar reserve currency tied to oil coming from the Saudis. So to me, that is the important part of that story.
It tells us that they expect within 20 years the dollar is going to be bye-bye, because, or at least the petrodollar is going to be bye-bye, because there won't be any more petroleum, at least not in Saudi Arabia. There'll still be petroleum in places.
There's still going to be petroleum.
The question is, do they expect that Saudi Arabia is going to run out of petroleum, or do they believe that the world is going to lose its appetite for oil?
Well, it's probably, it could be a combination of both. I mean, you can debate both sides, that there's a never-ending supply of oil, and, they hit peak oil. Mm-hmm. But you have a lot of other countries that are coming into the market with oil. The U.S., you have Iran, you have, and plus that, you have more oil coming on, and we're seeing a decline in the usage of oil, too, even though I still believe oil will play a very important part. I mean, there's almost everything. Oil is anything that's made includes oil, from aspirin to, oil is in everything. I mean, if you ever looked at the list of products where they use the byproduct of oil, It's amazing. Well,
it's essential for producing energy, at least to some degree.
And
it's part of the energy component of many of the products in this country. We'll talk more about that when we return in a moment. Time for some commercial breaks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstone on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I'm running a special today. This is the first time in over, I brought this information to the listeners before. We've had a very narrow spread between Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces and a coin like an American Eagle bullion coin. So from a bullion coin to a certified mint state 61 $20 Liberty gold piece, you know, we've seen $100 spreads and so forth. Today, I was doing some comparisons, and this is the lowest the spread in 20 plus years, you know, when you have such high values for gold coins. If you bought one American Gold Eagle, this is our, you know, if you buy a volume, we discount, but one American Gold Eagle would sell today for $1,260, with spot being, around $1,225. Today, We have a special on Mint State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces for $1,310. That's $50 more than what you would buy a bullion coin. I've never seen the spread that low. So it's a tremendous time to be picking up some $20 gold pieces. This coin would originally sell over $1,400. So with our special, because it is a special, I am lowering my price so that you can buy it at $50 over a gold bullion coin. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, this program is archived on a weekly and forever basis. Two different spots that you can get to on the website. And there was one thing I wanted to mention. We do have gold and silver IRAs that are available for those of you who have pension plans and IRAs. If you'd like to transfer some of those funds into a precious metals IRA, give us a call. We work with one of the oldest trust companies in the country that have been handling gold and silver IRAs. And I feel they do a better job than most, and it's an easy process. So if you have any questions and you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, give us a call at 800-375-4188.
There's an article from Yahoo Finance that Melody touched on yesterday. The headline is, "Trader, Listen to Yellen, Ignore Fundamentals." Now, this is, I'm not going to quote from the article per se, but what it's about is a stock trader, and he's featured in this article from Yahoo Finance, and saying essentially that the game is rigged. The economy is rigged. The Federal Reserve holds absolute control over the markets, so the smart investment move is to simply follow Janet Yellen's lead. Again, the headline is, "Trader, Listen to Yellen, Ignore Fundamentals." We sit here, Melody and I, are saying that, yes, the markets are rigged. We don't doubt that. But the Federal Reserve no longer holds absolute or even primary control over the markets. We're saying that sooner or later, the Fed's lack of control will be demonstrated when free market fundamentals inevitably overwhelm the Fed's central planning. At that time, those who follow Janet Yellen and ignored the fundamentals will suffer huge losses, while those who followed the fundamentals will enjoy huge gains. The question, of course, is how long before the moment when the market fundamentals overwhelm the Fed's central planning? When's that going to happen? How soon? No one really knows. But when you, what it's a fundamental theme that you hear on this program. If you've listened to us in the past, you're aware that this is a fundamental idea. You can't safely rely on the government's numbers, the government's opinions, the government's predictions. They're cooking the books. Anyone who looks at this understands that when they report that the unemployment rate is below 5%, there are other credible sources that say, no, it's in the neighborhood of 23%. The government is simply cooking the books in order to come up with numbers that say, oh, everything's rosy. No, it's not. And these are the kinds of fundamentals. When you look at the fundamentals, we believe you're going to sit back and say it's time to get some gold, time to get some silver. If you want to believe Janet Yellen, it's time to what? Buy some more stocks, buy some more bonds, get some more paper debt instruments at a time when the debt is too great to ever be repaid. If you're going to follow Janet Yellen, and the Federal Reserve and the federal government in their economic predictions, I believe you're coming to hard times. What else, Melody?
Well, and again, it's another, I'm not even going to say sign. It's not even a leaf in the breeze anymore, Al. It's something much bigger than that. But again, it's the global connection that we have throughout the world and the central bank. The Fed is really the world's central bank.
Well, that's a number of articles that are touching on that very same idea.
And so it shows when we, you know, everybody is so, you know, easy to talk about the economy of China and everywhere else and all the problems everywhere else has, but if we're funding, which we are, some of these other countries, particularly Europe, it is all interconnected.
It's not just interconnected, but centrally controlled. Not just interconnected, but centrally controlled. That's where we get into this. We have been led to believe for most of my life that the Federal Reserve exists as a private, independent agency that's there to take care of the American economy. I mean, if the Federal Reserve did something, no one should have cared in foreign countries to speak of. But here's an article from ABC News. It says, global stocks advance as investors welcome Fed assurance. Global stocks are advancing as global investors welcome Fed assurance. Global stocks rose and the dollar fell on Wednesday after the U.S. Federal Reserve signaled it will move slowly to raise interest rates. Britain's FTSE 100 and Germany's DAX both climbed 1.7%. France's CAC 40 gained 1.9%. The U.S. Dow and also Standard & Poor's Future both opened up 0.6%. The point here is, again, traditionally we've supposed that whatever the Federal Reserve did, its actions only concerned the U.S. economy. Today, however, when U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen speaks, the whole world listens. Now, we can see more of the implications of Mrs. Yellen's global status in the next article from Investors Business Daily, which the headline is, Yellen almost admits Fed is world's central bank. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen on Tuesday signaled that the U.S. central bank should worry less about inflation at home than global growth risks, such as the slowdown in China or depressed commodity prices. Caution is especially warranted, according to Janet Yellen, when it comes to raising interest rates. Even if she would never admit it, Janet Yellen's speech reflected her recognition that the U.S., at least at this moment, has become central banker to the world. Now, this isn't really surprising, right? Characterizing particularly the Federal Reserve as the world's central bank, no surprise there. Given that we were the only Western country to escape World War II largely unscathed, and given that the post-1971 monetary system has been based on the use of fiat dollars rather than gold as a reserve currency, pretty much follows that the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is the printing mechanism for these fiat dollars, it has been the world's de facto central bank for most of the past 70 years. From this perspective, Federal Reserve hasn't recently become the world's central bank. The Federal Reserve has been the world's central bank since World War II and is only recently being revealed in that role. So this is something from Martin Armstrong. Many of you will recognize the name, prognosticator, guru in economics. The Fed has been lobbied by the IMF not to raise interest rates because of international concerns, not domestic concerns. The Fed realizes that with the dollar as the reserve currency, they're losing power to control the U.S. economy. Now, this is interesting. What they're saying here is we started out where the Federal Reserve was producing U.S. dollar and primarily for U.S. consumption. But the dollar is now so critical to the global economy that the Federal Reserve can't work on the dollar to the same way to manipulate the U.S. economy, the same way they did, say, 40 years ago. As the dollar, most of our dollars, most of our printed paper dollars are held by foreign countries, held in foreign countries. What can the Fed do to increase the number of dollars to change the way our economy functions? Can they still do that to the same extent they did several decades ago? And the answer is apparently no. But again, the dollar as reserve currency that ties us into the global economy. in a way that means that when the Federal Reserve talks, the global economy moves right, left, up, or down. The international interest has taken priority over domestic. Keep this going, and the Fed won't be able to do anything to help the U.S. economy. Again, that's from Martin Armstrong. There's a danger in having the Fed become internationalized. Right? There's a danger here where, on the one hand, the Fed's ability to control what happens in the U.S. economy may be diminished. And even if their ability to control it is not diminished, their willingness to do so is diminished. They're going to sit there, oh, we'd like to do this to help the U.S. economy, but if we do this, we may compromise what's going on in Europe or Japan or China. And therefore, in order to take care of the other parts of the world that we are to some degree responsible for, we're going to have to sacrifice the U.S. economy. And we've seen some evidence of that over the past 2 years, insofar as the Federal Reserve has allowed deflation in this country, because they allowed deflation here, they supported inflation in Europe and Japan and China, tried to at least, and thereby, in theory, stimulated those economies, while ours was unstimulated, and they left us to have a problem. Stronger dollar doesn't stimulate the U.S. economy. We've seen that reverse just in the last, it's become possibly obvious in the past just 6 weeks or so, maybe 2 months. The dollar has fallen as measured on the dollar index, and we're now in the 94 range when we were close to the 100 range on the U.S. dollar index just a few months ago. Now we're down to 94. This isn't proof, but it's evidence that the government has decided enough of the deflation. We're going to have inflation in this country, and the other countries are just going to have to fend for themselves. We can't take care of them anymore. So, point, I don't know. Is it true that the Federal Reserve is the world's central bank? Not exactly. All right? Technically, it's not true. But as a practical matter, that argument can be made and it should be considered. What's next, Millie?
Oh, we're just about going into break here, Al.
But we got 2 minutes, and that means either I sing or we find something else to talk about.
Well, I mean, I do believe, and you're right, this country needs inflation. We're going to get inflation. As long as when, you know, we say this time and time again, and I know people, the listeners say, oh, there they go again, repeating themselves. But on the other hand, the amount of debt that we have, we're on a fiat system. We're going to get inflation, and because they're going to continue to spend and spend and spend. And what really has it shown? There's low jobs, no wages, our infrastructure. I mean, really, look at our infrastructure. It's falling apart. You go driving around in this country on roads and so forth. I mean, the roads aren't even being repaired anymore. Roads. Remember, you go 20 miles from your home and run into road construction. It's not happening anymore. They're just letting the roads deteriorate, the bridges. Yeah, right after 2008, there was this little, you know, program that they had that they were supposed to rebuild these bridges and so forth. I was told by people that actually worked on the bridges that all they really did was paint them and, you know, move some vehicles and bricks and so forth to make it look like they were repairing them. And they did just part of the job. And so our infrastructure.
What does that tell us? It's not just the infrastructure. That's what it tells us.
We're broke.
The government doesn't have the money to play the game anymore. They only have enough money to throw on a fresh coat of paint and try to conceal the problem rather than actually deal with it. And how can that be good? How can it be tolerable? We're sitting back and saying, oh, but we'll rebuild the bridge next year or the year after that. No, we aren't. No, we're not. We are having a serious problem. And when that problem gets sufficiently serious, we're going to see an economic decline. We might see an economic collapse, and people are going to be screaming for precious metals. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And I got an article here from True Activist. And the headline is WikiLeaks founder exposes true intentions of Trans-Pacific Partnership. As most of you understand, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a new treaty that's being negotiated. And much of it's taking place in secrets. And it's been going on for 7 years. And the reason it's in secret is because they're not there to do you and me any good. There are going to be some changes made if this thing is allowed to be enacted and is actually implemented. There are going to be some changes made that will almost certainly be contrary to the best interests of the American people. The article says WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange recently published leaked chapters of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a secretive trade agreement between 14 Pacific Rim companies, including the United States. The agreement is the largest ever international economic treaty, even topping the monopoly that is NAFTA, and would allow control of roughly 40% of the world's economy. The agreement was finalized this past October between the United States and participating countries after 7 years of negotiations. Assange has concluded that the investment chapter, which divulges the motivation of U.S. negotiators in allowing corporations to sue the government if future profits are disrupted, remains at the forefront of concerns. What they're talking about is if the government does anything that diminishes the profits of major corporations and multinational corporations, the government can be sued. And where is the government going to get the money, assuming it loses the lawsuit, where is it going to get the money to pay these guys? It's going to come from the taxpayers, which means you and I are now responsible for the profits generated by a number of multinational corporations. And if our government does anything to diminish the profits, they get to sue and we have to pay. According to Assange, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is very well guarded from the press and majority of the people, and even from congressmen. But 600 U.S. companies are part of the process and have been given access to various parts of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Essentially, every aspect of the modern economy, even banking services, are in the TPP. That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, of course. Embedding a new ultra-modern neoliberal structure in the U.S. law and the laws of the countries that are participating and putting it in treaty form with 14 countries involved, it's very, very hard to overturn. Now, this is very interesting. They are creating a treaty that is ultimately going to compromise our constitution, our local laws, our self-interest. And that's the implication on this. Where is this? He's also quick to point out that only multinational corporations will have the privilege of suing the government, not United States corporations. Right? If your corporation is located only in the United States, the government does something to diminish your profits, too bad for you. If you have a multinational corporation, however, and the government does anything to diminish your profits, the government is maybe liable to the corporation. Through this agreement, multinational corporations would basically maintain the ability to structure circumstances so that they take investments from the United States, then sue the government for infringement on future non-tangible profits. The whole thing is insane. It's bizarre. The implications of this treaty are frightening when considering how much power corporations can potentially wield over the government, particularly when the health and environmental issues are called into question. The world is being fought over by the government, who does not command very much respect, fighting with multinational corporations, who don't command much moral respect. And we're supposed to sit here like peons on the sidelines and just wait until the big boys decide what they're going to do with our lives. This is bad business. It should never have been allowed. It was negotiated in secret. All by itself, the secrecy tells you, you know, if the government is doing anything positive, it's going to help you, me, the American people. They're out there broadcasting and say, oh, look what we're doing. I mean, they will lie about it. They put a fresh coat of paint on some bridges and tell you they're repairing the infrastructure. When they go into secrecy, it means they're doing something that's really bad. Because they can't even put a fresh coat of paint on this one. This is bad news, and the whole country is going to be diminished.
So. You know, it's funny, you know, there's, you know, the original, how many, 12, I guess, countries?
14.
But there's other countries that are on the sidelines that want to join this treaty. You have Taiwan, Philippines, Cambodia, Bangladesh, you know, India. But they have to, in order to join, they have to change their protectionist trade policies in order to join, you know. And so they're just stripping away everyone, anything that these countries have done to protect their trade has to be stripped away. And it's, you know, it's killing our country. And, you know, certainly we're the leader of all those countries, but
We were.
But there's over...
I don't know if we're the leader or the patsy. We open our own markets up. We had the best markets in the world, and they were protected by tariffs. We've opened them up and exposed them to the whole world, and now cheap labor is actually destroying our own markets.
The agreement would reduce 18,000 tariffs. Tariffs on all U.S. manufactured goods and almost all U.S. farm products would be eliminated completely.
Well,
and that really is, you know, it's
when the tariffs are eliminated, it's the sort of thing that ordinary people can't take advantage of, can't profit from. All right? Well, the only ones who can profit from the removal of these tariffs are multinational corporations, because they're in a position to employ labor in cheap third world countries and sell products into first world countries and thereby maximize their profits. I have to deal with the labor structure that exists and the wage structure that exists in this country. All right? But multinational corporations don't have to do that. They can employ cheap labor in China, for example, or India, generate products that they can turn around, ship across the ocean, and sell into this country at a maximum profit. It's great. Reducing these tariffs is great for the multinational corporations because they can stand with one foot in China and another foot in the United States. But for the average man, woman, or even private corporation in this country, you are at a huge disadvantage because you have to work with the labor in this country and sell into this market, and you're competing with people that are allowed to use dirt cheap third world labor. It won't go well for the American people. I mean, this will diminish our standard of living further. We've seen reports that the standard of living really hasn't improved in this country since the 1970s. What do you suppose that is, Melody?
You tell us.
Well, it's because, in my opinion, it's because in 1971, we went completely off the gold standard. And the dollar became a pure fiat currency, and the American dream essentially died. The American dream has been, since the beginning, that each generation would enjoy a higher standard of living than the previous generation. That's what the American dream has been since the beginning. Or people say they have different opinions of what the American dream was, but that's what it really was. Each generation, the kids would do better than the parents, and the grandkids would do even better, and so on. And we did up through the 1970s. Well, not through the entire, up to the 1970s. Then in 1971, Nixon closed the gold window and absolutely terminated the dollar's relationship with gold. We'd already had gold removed from the United States markets in 1933. We had silver removed no later than 1968. And then finally gold was removed from backing the dollar on the international level in 1971. Well, since then, our American dream has stagnated, and I don't believe it's an accident. I think the biggest problem this country has is that we're dealing with a fiat currency. Our money is not backed by gold and silver. It's no longer a real money. It's just a currency. And it's a debt-based monetary instrument besides that. The whole thing is insane, it's irrational, and we are going to see a day when this system will collapse. And it will collapse, and they'll point at when it happens. They'll say, well, it's because China was, their economy was bad, or Europe went into a recession. They'll have 100 reasons for it. But in my opinion, when it all goes down the commode, the real reason for the trouble will be that we embraced a fiat monetary system, a debt-based rather than asset-based monetary system. Once we got into that, they've had something like 275 previous fiat monetary systems in the world, and they all fail. All right, they all blow up sooner or later, and when they do, ordinary people lose their savings, lose their jobs, lose their retirement, their pensions, and that's where we're headed. And if we are correct in that assessment, one of the things you want to do is prepare yourself, because it certainly looks as if we're getting closer to the moment when the stuff is going to hit the fan. And in order to protect yourself, what do? Get yourself some guns, get yourself some bullets, get yourself some food, get yourself some water, get yourself a first aid, get a competent first aid, get yourself some gold, get yourself some silver. One of the things we talk about on this program on a regular basis is that there is too much debt. We have a debt-based monetary system. The national debt is $19 trillion that they'll admit to, and some credible sources say it's $100 trillion, and others say it's over $200 trillion, and it can't be paid.
I just want to say something here. When you say get some gold and silver, you know, it's more than just getting some gold and silver so you can put it in a drawer and have it if you need it. And I know that's you hear a lot where a lot of folks just talk about buying gold and silver as bartering and so forth. Gold and silver is so much more than, you know, just getting some few pieces and throwing it in a drawer so you have it in case you need it. Gold and silver is there to protect your hard-earned money. And you want to convert those worthless, soon-to-be fiat dollars into something that's real, something that has no claim of debt against it. It's the only store of true value. It has no it crosses all international boundaries. It's been recognized for over 5,000 years, and it's not going to go away. And for these guys who tell you to have 5% of your assets in gold and silver and then put the rest in paper, I would have to disagree. And I can tell you all the reasons why. And I could look at portfolio after portfolio and tell you that people are so out of balance. And that's what makes everything work. And so be careful when you, because I know our listeners listen to other people. They listen and read. I hope they do. And I hope they question. And when they have questions, I hope they call. And so that we can answer your questions. We want you to think about it. But gold and silver preserves your purchasing power. I don't think people get what that means.
You know, most people don't understand. Most people don't understand money. I've told this story a number of times with a friend of mine back in the night.
But they're going to be broke.
Yeah, I know.
If they don't understand.
I know.
They're going to lose what? You say 80-90%.
I guess.
I'm a little conservative. I'm 70%. You know, but
say
50%. You know,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
If they repudiate, the problem you have in this country is that one man's debt is another man's asset. If I lend $100,000 to someone, they're going to give me a piece of paper and sign it and say, I promise to pay you $100,000. I'm going to treat that piece of paper as an asset. But the truth is, it's only a promise to pay. And we have so many promises to pay out there that cannot possibly be kept. The promises can't be kept. It means if you're holding those pieces of paper and it's signed by so-and-so, and we promise to give you $100,000, you think, ha-ha, I'm a wealthy guy, I've got a $100,000 note from somebody. We are in a world where most of the promises can't be kept. There are too many. And sooner or later, we're going to hit that moment. And when we do, we don't just wipe out the debt. We wipe out the assets of people that are holding those pieces of paper. If you're holding your wealth in the form of paper debt instruments, that includes stocks and bonds and pension funds and even bank accounts, you are in jeopardy. All right? Doesn't mean the world is going to come to an end and you're going to see real trouble tomorrow or next week or even this year. But you are running a risk. If you want to store your wealth in something tangible that is not subject to destruction when they finally have to admit that they can't pay all the debts, you want something like gold or silver for that in order to store your wealth. We're out of time, Melody.
The government is not worried about the people. Federal Reserve, the government, it's all about the laws, the legislation that they do, the trade agreements. It's so the multinational corporations, the bankers, those that are in power will continue to strip everything that you have. They will become wealthier and wealthier, and you will become more poor.
And the primary mechanism of that theft is your ignorance, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't understand money, you are going to be robbed. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back Monday. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd go
need.